Okay. It's not just me then. I feel like I'm yelling at you and I'm not yelling. My name's Joel. I am one of the pastors here at the Way Fellowship Church. But you notice, and as Scott and Chad pointed out, I'm dressed a little different today. I am also the, assistant scoutmaster for another 4 weeks, and the chaplain for Troop 194 as part of the Boy Scouts of America out in Surprise, Arizona. And today, like Pastor Scott said, we are celebrating a journey that four of my scouts went on through the months of October, November, and even into December. A journey that took them through the life of Christ and the life of our church. And it's interesting because we sponsor this. I don't know if you all know this, but I think for the past 6 years, we have done this program, and I think we've had about 60 scouts go through it. And we don't really advertise it, but this year I kind of went, you know what? These guys did a lot of work. And so I wanted to show our congregation what we're involved in and who some of the people who worked in it are involved in. Additionally, and the reason we picked today is that February 8th, 1910, was the day that the Boy Scouts was incorporated into in America. And so Scout Sunday is always the first Sunday in February. When the Boy Scouts was founded, it was founded on Christian principles. It was founded on the belief that life without God is kind of useless. And so it's kind of interesting because the boys learn, and they start at, I don't know where'd Max go. Max is way there in the back. The little one, they learn the same scout oath and law that even us adults say. And it's been pretty profound, the wisdom that the scout oath and law have had on my life and how they have developed me into the person I am. But the first part of the scout oath says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and then my country. Right? The first principle of scouting is duty to God. And so we want to celebrate that a little bit today and what these guys have gone through. While I cannot say the Boy Scouts is a Christian organization because it's not, again, that most important principle is duty to God. And so there's another organization out there called PRAY, and that's Programs of Religious Activities with Youth. And they wrote the curriculum that we went through. And so today I'm gonna talk to you about this curriculum and what these boys learned over the course of, I think it was 8 or 9 weeks that we met. And so they started out, the first chapter, they started out talking about the humanity of Jesus, right? Oftentimes we get up here and we get into our classes and we talk about the divinity of Jesus, and that's great, but then he's separated from me. He's different from me. And so they began and they talked about scripture verses like John 19:28, and it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. He was thirsty. He drank water. Probably drank wine. Can't say that. We're in a Baptist church. But he did, because he turned the water into wine. Well, that's the miracle. We'll talk about that later, I think. In John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. See, his friend died, and they buried him, and Jesus got there, and he wept. And it's interesting to me because this word wept, we kind of think, you know, kind of a little sobbing kind of thing, and it's not. In the Greek, when you really look at it, it's a deep, mournful crying. And so Jesus is fully human like you and I. He's hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired and needed to sleep. But most importantly, in this chapter, they discussed why he needed to be human. Right? Hebrews 2:17-18 says this: therefore, he had been made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For he himself has suffered when tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. We face temptation every day, and it's only because Jesus is God that we can get through that. Next chapter, they started looking at Jesus as God, and they went through the different names he's given in the New Testament and what those names mean. Jesus means Savior of sins, Matthew 21. Right? God tells Joseph that he will save his people from their sins. Emmanuel means God with us. There, you just learned Hebrew, by the way, if you wanted to know that. Teacher and Lord specifically in the Old Testament, is used to mean God. That's John 13:13. He's called the Lamb of God, who is the sacrifice, in John 1:29. And he's called the Messiah in John 1:41, which is the chosen one, which is translated into Greek, which means Christ, which means he's there for us each and every day. Next, they started to explore who Jesus said he was, right? They learned about what other people said, what other people said he would be. But then they began to explore who he said he was, and they went through all the I am verses, right? In John, Jesus says over and over again, I am, which is a drawback to what God says his name is in the book of Exodus. I am. And so Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's the one who provides us sustenance. God is the one who provides us sustenance. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God provides us the light of life through Jesus. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus continues over and over again through these passages to say, I am God, and this is what I do. See, we often hear sometimes, and we hear it in culture, that Jesus didn't really believe he was God. It was the later disciples that said that he was God. But these verses, these things that they studied, says otherwise. Jesus said over and over again, I am God. They talked about some of the miracles that Jesus performed in his lifetime, and what the witnesses saw and said about him. Specifically, they talked about the centurion at the cross who said, surely this man is the Son of God. And finally, they discussed Revelation 3:20 that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. It allowed them to understand that Jesus is not going to drag us kicking and screaming into faith. He's going to allow us to open the door. He knocks on our heart, and it's our choice. Ultimately, it is our choice. And these young men got to study and begin to understand that. Chapter 3, they start looking at the history of the church. They delve into Acts 1-57, and I won't read the whole thing for you because we'll be here all the time, but talked about the birthday of the Christian church and the tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. They talked about some of the particulars of our church, the Way Fellowship Church, and why, how, and if we're different from what we believe the early church was. they began talking about some of the major figures in church history. I feel like as I read this stuff, I kind of got a whole seminary education in 8 weeks, because this is a lot of stuff that we talked about. But they talked about Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Zwingli. They talked about some of the dates in history. I know I can't say that, can I? They talked about some of the important dates in church history. 30 AD is the day, or the year that Jesus died. 325 AD, when Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity and made Christianity legal for the first time in 300 years. And 1517, 500th anniversary this year, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and began what later would be known as the Reformation, and responding to the abuses that he saw in the Catholic Church. They were required to memorize Scripture, and we'll see later today if they remember it. And finally, they had homework. Every week they had homework to do, and one of the interesting things was they were required to read Scripture and meditate over it. And they were taught I can see him over there going, which one do we got to know? I don't know if I remember it. But they were required to read Scripture and meditate over it, and they learned a method called prompt. And this was kind of cool. I'd never read this before. But prompt stands for pray, read, observe, meditate, pray, and take. And so as they read through those scriptures, and the two that they were assigned to read was Joshua 1:1-9 and Matthew 1:18-25, but they were required to look at, what do these scriptures say to me? How do they affect my life? And what do I need to do with them? Chapter 4, they begin to look at the concept of worship in the church, and how and why do we worship. They explored some of the different passages that talk about Jesus worshiping in the Bible. Luke 2:49, Jesus' parents are heading back to Nazareth after the Passover. They go a day and a half and all of a sudden realize their son's not there. As a Boy Scout leader, I know how that can happen, by the way. Because sometimes I look around and go, where'd they go? All right. But when they finally find him, Jesus says to this, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? As he grew older, he became a leader in the church. Many call him teacher or rabbi. And so in Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. He was part of the teachers in that time. He spent day in and day out in the temple teaching. In Matthew 26:55, when they came to arrest him, Jesus says, why have you come out against me as a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. And the last one is, he had reverence for the temple in Jerusalem, for his Father's house. Mark 11:15-17 says this, and they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. You see, what we find out through history is some of the people who were there were kind of cheating the people who were far off, and they were changing the weights of money and taking it. And so worship of God, of his Father, becomes vitally important for Jesus. Then they get to talk about how they worship. in chapter 5, they begin to explore how our congregation worships. And so they talked about some of the things we do, like the order of service, the pastor's roles. What do Pastor Scott and Pastor Kyle and myself do? Other types of worship experiences that we have, like the Wednesday night Bible study and the worship experiences that Carrie puts on a couple times a year. They talked about the resources that we have, the Bibles, the sound booth, the musical instruments, the communion supplies, and how all of those affect our attitude in worship. Are they a distraction? They talked about special days, celebration days. You know, the Catholic Church actually has a calendar that they follow, and each week has something that they do that's important to them. And so they talked about how do we have those? Are there certain days that we celebrate or certain days we don't celebrate? And so they talked about that. And they talked about how they can be of assistance to their church through the worship setting. In chapter 6, they talked about the ways that Jesus ministered and witnessed about himself. They started talking about how they can share. And so they talked about the study, or they talked about the passage of Jesus talking to the woman at the well. And they talked about how she was a Gentile compared to them, and it would be unheard of for a male rabbi from Israel to talk to a female Samaritan woman. And yet, he did it anyway. And he broke some of the, and a lot of the cultures and barriers that we have to talking with other people. They talked about how we need to, as people, show compassion with each other and not hatred. They talked about some of the miracles that he performed and the response of the people who received those miracles. One of the passages I remember was the healing of 10 lepers, and 9 of them disappeared, but 1 of them came back, and his response to Jesus for that healing. And they learned how helping people allows us to have an opportunity to talk to them about faith. Finally, in chapter 7, which took them 8 weeks, they learned about how our church is set up and governed. And so they talked about the positions of elder that we have. They talked about some of the leadership of the church with Carrie leading worship and those kind of things. They talked about some of the different ministries that we have available. The children's ministry, teaching kids and helping them on Sunday mornings to learn. The shut-ins, the people who can't go to church and how we help them and affect their lives. The prayer team that meets every Wednesday behind closed doors, and people often don't hear them, but they're there, and they're a constant foundation to our life. Sound and music, hospitality, greeting people as they come into the church, and how when people feel welcome, they come back. They talked about some of our missions that we sponsor, life work in Tucson, the church plant out there, and Pastor I.D. Suna in India that we help sponsor and support. And last, they talked about the Annie Armstrong and the Lottie Moon offerings that we take at Easter and Christmas to support national and international missions. And finally, they talked about collecting shoe boxes each year for Operation Christmas Child, to be able to give gifts to those who live in a world where they're never going to receive gifts for Christmas. As you can see, they spent a lot of time and a lot of energy learning about the life of Jesus and the life of the church. And so what I'd like to do right now is bring up 4 scouts, Tyler Mollica, Brett and Baca, Matthew Larson, and Chance Ron. And I'm going to present them with a certificate and a medal for completing. Just stand there. Thank you, guys. For completing the God in Church program. You'll notice each one of them on their uniforms. I hope they all have it. Breton, did you not sew yours on yet? Oh. But on their uniform, you can see that some of them have a purple knot. And this purple knot says that they've done this program before. And in fact, Tyler, Chance, and Matthew have all done this three times with me. Or three times in a row. And so they've got one more program to go through that they'll be able to finish when they get into high school. And so it'll be great to see how they learn and how they grow and how they move forward. So I'm going to give these to them. You're welcome. Hold on, I've got cards for you too. So tell me, guys. John 3:16. All right. So they do remember. Don't go very far. Actually, go see Miss Tina. Go see Miss Tina. I have one other person that I really want to recognize today, and that's Mallory Hall. Can you come up? So Mallory had no idea that I was going to do this to her, but to be honest, I didn't teach this. I don't have time to prepare these lessons, but Mallory did. And so as a church, we got her a little certificate of appreciation to Mallory Hall. Give you that. We also have a little pin that says counselor because she went through all of these lessons. She taught all of these lessons so that they could learn these things. And then I think the boys have something for you. Guys. Yeah, go ahead. So you're probably sitting here going, so what, Joel? What does this have to do with me? What does all of this stuff that these four boys learned about have to do with me? Well, that's where I go to the passages that Scott read this morning. Because there are two passages that have been on my heart as I thought about what to say this morning. And the first one showed up, ironically, on Monday as I was doing my Through the Bible in a Year reading. And Moses is getting ready to die. And the nation of Israel is getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. And Moses is speaking to the nation, and he tells them, where'd he go in my notes? You shall teach them to your children, right? Those are the laws. He's telling the nation of Israel, teach your children the laws. Teach them how to be believers. Talk to them when you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you lie down, and when you stand up. And I'm pretty sure that's all the time. Right? Because I'm not sure there are any other ways that my body can contort that I don't have covered. So when I'm sitting and when I'm standing and when I'm walking and when I'm lying. See, we're supposed to do the same things. We're supposed to, when we're sitting and when we're standing and when we're walking and when we're lying, we're supposed to teach. Right? The second passage is the Great Commission, and we know this all the time and we hear it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What's the difference between those two commands? Baptism. Right? Because Jesus says, and there are many scholars who actually believe the first of this should read, while you are going, so while you are sitting, while you are standing, while you are walking, and while you are laying, make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I've taught you. And so what's been really cool is over the past 8 years, I think, when I first met some of these young guys, I've been able to walk with them and teach them, maybe train them. But now it's your turn, right? If you, and I know what, we've got a bunch of guests here, but if you're a member of this church, these are the things that we're called to do. These are the things that we're supposed to be doing. And in fact, our mission statement is to love, follow, and share Jesus so that others might come to love, follow, and share. We are called to go out into the world and engage people. So you have your blue card, right? On the back of it, there's always call to action points. I don't know if Kyle needs the help this weekend, but we've got a parents' night out where we're hoping to allow parents to drop their kids off and have a date night for Valentine's Day. Are you signed up? No? Put a check mark. Or who do you need to walk with? Who is that person? Carrie and I have decided to work with the Boy Scouts, and we've decided purposefully to do that. And so we continue to work with young boys. And actually I've got young scouts that aren't in the troop yet who are looking forward to come over to the troop to work with us because they've experienced us before. And so I've got scouts coming up that I'm still working with. And so who are you working with? Is it your neighbor? Is it through the scouts? Is it through Sunday school and helping out in the children's ministry and allowing others to have a break? Because I know we've got people that I don't ever see in here because they're out there. Could you do that? Or last that I've gotten, I don't think this is on your sheet, but you can write it in if you want to. On the 24th, we're having a couples night here at the church. Is there a couple that you could invite and pay for to come to dinner and be able to have maybe a better marriage because of it? You see, it doesn't have to be anything spectacular. But we're called to make disciples while we're sitting, while we're standing, while we're walking, and while we're laying. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be here, to share, to celebrate with these young men all that they have done. God, I want to pray for them right now. I pray that you would continue to work in their hearts and their minds, that you would continue to help them to grow. I want to pray for Mallory. God, I thank you for a wonderful heart that she has to give up her night and to be able to prepare and to plan. I pray that you would bless her heart. I pray that you would continue to encourage her. I pray that as she continues to raise foster children, that you would just give her an extra measure of your grace. God, I pray for the hearts and the minds of those sitting out there today. I pray that you would move mightily, and that as they ask the question, who can I walk with, that you would bring that person to their heart and their mind, that you would show them who they need to engage. God, I thank you for the grace that you give us, that yet while we were still sinners, that you died for us, so that we might be able to go and engage our culture. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.